In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, the scripture says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace be multiplied, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's done so. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that you and I need to know about, all right? That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped by these promises and by this knowledge of our Lord, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, displacement by the good word of God, the good truth of God, his great promises. And beside this, so these things are at hand. They're there for us to know, to make a part of our lives, to take his good word and hide it in our hearts. We might learn about him. We might know about him. We might know about the promises that he has given unto us. And beside this, giving all diligence, be diligent about it, children. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Charity. For if these things be in you and abound, if these things that you and I are to add to our faith, if they be in us and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be diligent about adding these things to the faith that you've been given, that you have, that you possess in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You be diligent. You and I be diligent about adding these things to this faith. We will abound and we will not be barren in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Don't add. Certain blindness is coming. Don't add. He that lacketh these things is blind, can't see very far off, and hath forgotten. It can get so it can get become such that you can forget and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Can even get to the point you forgot that you're saved. Add to our faith for this morning, charity. Charity. In Galatians chapter 5, we see here the apostle writing to these churches at Galatia. They've become entangled with the yoke of bondage. And in chapter 5, he reminds them about the works of the flesh. And also, in the latter part, reminds them about the fruit of the Spirit. Or as Brother Orville Lawson would say, the fruit salad of the Spirit. And these things are manifested, or to be manifested, in the child of God. And we are to be adding charity, right? Isn't that what it told us over there in 2 Peter? We're to be adding charity. If we do so and add the charity and those other things, we won't be unfruitful. We won't be unfruitful. Let me read that. We will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to hang on to that. And in chapter 5 of Galatians, it tells us this, that the fruit of the Spirit, that which is manifested in the child of God, or if you will, that which is exhibited, not feigned, not faked, but that which shines forth from the child of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Isn't that interesting that faith we have, and faith is exhibited. It goes on to say meekness is exhibited and temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no limit to those. There's no achieving or attaining to the end of those. It goes on to say, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And of course it is the old man, the flesh that works against this. works against us adding the things to faith that we should be adding. He says here, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, and we do need to mortify him. We do need to crucify him with the affections, the desires, and the feelings, and the emotion, and all those things that we have that can mislead us, and the desires, the things that the flesh wants to do, and the old carnal mind. If we live in the Spirit, if we're saved, let us also walk in the Spirit, this life, with this old body. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, glory that is just empty, the accolades of our brothers and sisters in Christ, the accolades of this world. Let us not be desired of those things that are just empty and vain. Let us not be provoking one another. Let us not be envying one another or jealous one of another, but rather edifiers of one another in our Lord. Add to faith charity. Add to faith charity. And then as the child of God, exhibit charity. And we take a look at this word charity, or love as it's rendered here in Galatians 5. It is the word agape. And we've talked about that many times. We're going to talk about it again this morning. But agape, agape love. Love with legs on it, I like to refer it. That's the way that I understand it. Not just words of love, but love for one, love for our Lord, love for the brethren, love for sinners that'll cause us to do something, to pursue something, to follow in something. Affection or benevolence is another way that it's described. A love feast. A love feast where we look to do something, to help, to benefit, to pursue, to obey our Lord. Much of what Brother Doug has been teaching about there in 1 John has been John's overwhelming blessing and understanding about the Lord's love for him and how that is to be manifested in our lives, that we love one another and we love our Lord unto obedience, unto pursuit, unto following what our Lord has said for his sake and unto him, and then to one another and to a lost and dying world. Our brother pointed out this morning that if we don't love our brother whom we've seen, how indeed can we love our Lord or claim to love our Lord who we've not seen with these eyes? And so we want to take a look at this morning, and we read over here in 2 Peter where it said in verse number 8, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. With the Lord's help this morning, we want to take a look at what Jesus said about what we're to add and what we're to exhibit. What Jesus said about what we're to add and what we're to exhibit to shine forth, to manifest in our lives, and that is love. In John chapter 5, we take a look here at our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's many scriptures and over in the epistles to the churches and the other epistles that were written by our brethren. But this morning and in this series of messages, we just want to take a look at what the Lord said and what the Lord exhibited about these things, and namely this morning, that of love or charity, agape love, love with action, not just love of words, but love with action. And so we're looking through the Gospels and seeing when our Lord talked about agape love. In John chapter 5, verse number 36, the scripture says here, but I have a greater witness, the Lord speaking to these that he's dealing with here in John chapter 5. He's told them about how the Lord is, how the Father has declared and given unto him judgment, that he is the judge of all things. The Lord, the Father is not going to judge, but the Lord Jesus is going to judge. He's given to the Lord Jesus that he might give life to whomsoever he will, as the Father does, that the Lord Jesus might be honored in that judgment. and in that giving of life. And he says here, speaking about witness in John chapter 5, verse 36, "But I have a greater witness than that of John," speaking of John the Baptist. "For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me." He doing what he's doing is a testimony, the miracles and the ministry and the way, him coming meek and lowly as he did. All his obedience to the Father shows that he is of the Father. Verse 37, "And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." He says that to those that he's speaking to. "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not." He said, you don't believe me? Then you don't have him within you, nor his word. He says here, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. But those same scriptures are they which testify of me. They tell about me." You get all your orthodoxy. You get all your religion. You get all your practice from the Word of God. And yet you miss that it's all speaking about me. In the context that these that he's speaking to, you have missed that you need me. Okay? "They are they which testify of me," verse 40, "and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Because the only one that will have life is going to have to come to the Lord Jesus. Life is only found in him. And said, you won't do it. Now, we don't know that about people. As Brother Doug spoke about the apostle and the things that he could declare, there are things that we just can't declare. We can take the Word of God and we can bring it up to a situation and we can say, well, there's the Word of God and there's what's going on. They don't seem to jibe. But the Lord told these folks, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men," verse 41. Verse 42, "But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." Agape love. Self-sacrificing love. Love with legs on it. And the Lord declares plainly to them, you don't have the love of God in you. "I am come in my Father's name," verse 43, "and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive." You'll receive any guy that comes down the street in his own name. But I'm coming in the Father's name. And everything that I do jives with what the Father says. And you won't receive me. Why? You don't have the love of God in you. "How can you believe which receive honor one of another?" You're so tore up about being in the clique, being connected, having approval one of another. "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Rather than being concerned about what one another thinks, what about what God thinks? What about what the Father thinks? Verse 45, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, that one that you hold to and you say you hold to his writings and you esteem him and hold him up, and indeed he is great, even Moses, in whom ye trust. He will accuse you to the Father. For had ye believed Moses," verse 46, "you would have believed me, because he wrote of me." Because he wrote, "and for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" You don't reckon the scriptures right. "In this the Lord Jesus Christ declared, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you." And he said in verse 40, "and you will not come to me that you might have life." One thing that we see that our Lord mentions and tells here in this passage in John 5, in these verses that we've read, is only with this love, agape love within, can one receive Christ. They didn't have it, and they didn't receive the Lord, did they? That kind of love is necessary. That kind of love is necessary for one to have in their heart that they might receive Christ. To see what Christ has done. To see the love of God. To see the most familiar passage in the scripture. "For God so loved the world." You got to see and know that he loved you, a sinner, condemned and unclean. He loved you so that he gave his son for a ransom for a sinner like you. Without that love, one cannot receive Christ. In Luke chapter 11, we see here our Lord Jesus dealing with something else. And it's kind of along the same line, but a little bit different. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 37, and as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat, that is Jesus. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisee, he knew what they were thinking, didn't he? And the Lord knows what we're all thinking. There's no hiding from him. Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, woe unto you, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye have entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. In verse number 42, our Lord said here, but woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. Agape love. Love unto action. Love that is self-sacrificing, as our Lord has exhibited and shows. He goes on to say, these ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Here I believe that our Lord says, and in a nutshell we can summarize it, self-righteous religion or perceived religious practice will cause one to pass over the love of God. Isn't that what he's saying? Self-righteous religion, a religious, perceived religious practice will cause one to pass over love. These had gone to the Word of God, and those before them had made many commentary and many writing about what the Word of God said and how to apply it and how to do it. And in all that, they missed the judgment and the love of God. He said tithing is right, even down to that little mint and that rue, that little herb that is grown to season food and to do different things with. It's right to tithe that. That's a right thing to do that. You should have been doing that. But you shouldn't have left off that which is more important, the love of God. I tell you what, orthodoxy and religion will kill us. But following and obeying our Lord out of love for Him, see, having Him as the focus, and then the obedience of the things that our Lord has given us to do, unto him and for his sake in the world. That is the right order. But you know what? Perceived religious practice, following after washing all the plates and all the cups and washing our hands at the right time. And you know, I say those things, those are not the things or the issues that are at hand, but we can get things out of order. We can take things straight out of the Word of God, and we can hold to an orthodoxy and hold to a standard and have a cold, dead religion without the love of our Lord. We need to love our Lord first. And all that we do and all that we pursue needs to be out of a love for Him, a love for what He has given us to do. See, churches that become orthodox in and of itself and just pursue orthodoxy and pursue doctrine and pursue religion and have no love for the Lord can very well forget the mission that we've been given to take the Word of God and the gospel to a lost and dying world. It can cause us to think that raising up our children in our church is enough for them, that that'll be enough if they learn the tenets and they learn the doctrine and they learn the truths of God's word for the sake of just the truths rather than unto our Lord. And we forget to witness to them about their need of Christ, that they need to repent and they need to trust in Christ. They need the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. And get things in the right order in the right way. Religious, self-righteous religion and perceived religious practice in and of itself will indeed cause one to pass over this love that we're to be adding and we're to be exhibiting. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, some of it is fine lines, but they're there and they're true. Next we see in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. In John chapter 13 and verse number 34, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are these unto his disciples. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. The Lord's children's love one for another reveal that they are the Lord's. Love, how do you exhibit? How do you express? How do you show your love one for another? I tell you, one way I see that we exhibit our love one for another is that we're willing to greet one another when we come into one another's presence. Something that as a pastor that grieves me is when a brother or two sisters in Christ or two brothers in Christ or a brother and sister in Christ will come that close, but yet not greet one another. Yet not greet one another. It's grievous to me as I would look on, and maybe I look on at times and misunderstand, but to come so close or to sit in opposite places in the church house and be so stretched out one for another, to just come in and plop down and not greet your brethren, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Lands, if we won't greet one another, do we really love one another? Do we love one another if we won't greet one another? Will we love one another unto death if we're not willing to greet one another when we come into the house of the Lord? And I know sometimes you get here late and sometimes you can't get all the way around. But what is it with you? How is it with your practice? Do your brothers and sisters, do we know that one another is even alive? And again, not for a show, not for a pretense, but do you really care? Are you glad to see your brother? Are you glad to see your sister? The Lord's children's love one for another reveal that they are, that we are the Lord's. A new commandment I give you, the Lord tells us, that ye love one another as I have loved you. What kind of church member do you think Jesus would be? Would Jesus be a come in and plop down kind of church member? Or would Jesus get up and go around and say hi? Would Jesus, if he could get there early enough, would he get there early enough to greet the brethren? You know, the scripture tells us plainly to tarry one for another. That means to be watching. Who's missing? Who's not here? Why are they not here? Our love one for another. Do you see a need? Do you know that a brother or sister needs help? Are you willing to offer yourself as the Lord offered himself to help one another, to be a help? Not all of us can do everything, but some of us can do some things. And the thing is something that I'm learning too after hitting 50. I can't do things like I did when I was 20 and when I was 30. There'll come a time I just might not be able to get around to greet the brethren. And that's just one simple thing about greeting the brethren. What do we mean one to another? How is our love exhibited one to another? We're to be adding love and charity. We're to be adding that to our faith. That's what Peter tells us, right? To be adding this thing. That means we need to be conscious of it. We need to be exhibiting that. That's what the brother writes in Galatians chapter 5. We're to be exhibiting that. You know, and I look to be challenged. I look to challenge you. Jim, are you adding that to your faith? Am I adding charity to my faith? Am I exhibiting charity in the world that's around me, my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in this lost and dying world? There's that time that we're able, and there'll come that time that maybe we can't. And while we're able, do we do so? Only with this love can one receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Self-righteous religion and religious practice, orthodoxy in and of itself, can cause us to pass over this love. And the Lord's children love one for another, reveal indeed that we are the Lord's. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. As the bystander standing by, and he would see two children of God come near one another, but not even acknowledge one another. What witness and testimony is that to them? What witness and testimony is that to a young child of God as an example at hand? Our fourth point is found in John chapter 15. What our Lord said about these things. In John 15 verse 8, the Lord here with the disciples, as he goes from the upper room to Gethsemane, and he speaks to them, he says this, "Herein is my Father glorified," John 15, 8, "that ye bear much fruit." That's how the Father is glorified, that we be bearers of much fruit. "So shall ye be my disciples." That's what my disciples will do. Verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me," agape love, self-sacrificing love, "so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." And I misspoke there. This last word, love, is that agape love. The first two, loved, "as the Father hath loved, so have I loved you." Those are the word from which this agape love, "continue ye in my love," come from. And so they are connected. But he says there, "as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. You continue in that love that I have loved you with. If you keep my commandments," verse 10, "you shall abide in my love." And that's not the one we're talking about, but this one is, "even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his," self-sacrificing love that leads to action. Continue and abide in his love. Verse number 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." I've told you about my love, and I want you to continue in my love. I want you to have this love one for another, that your joy, that my joy might be in you. See, the Lord was most joyous for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He had to give himself for us, that he might obtain that joy. And well, we ought to give ourselves for the sake of Christ in love, not feigned love, but true love, the love of the Lord, the love for our Lord, the love one for another, and the love for a lost and dying world to tell them the truth about Christ. That's how we'll have joy. That's how our joy will be full. It goes on in verse number 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse number 13. Greater love, that agape love, hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what that love will cause you to do. It'll cause you to give of yourself. It'll cause you to give of yourself to the Lord. The man that takes his life and keeps it to himself will lose it. But the man that'll lose his life for my sake and the gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ says, the same shall find it. Isn't that what he says? And that's what our Lord did, is he used up his life for our sakes. And we need to use up our lives for our Lord's sake and for the brethren's sake and for those, for the elect's sake, amen? We don't know who they are, but we need to use up our life and to exhibit this love, to add this love to our faith and to exhibit this love in our lives. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I tell you, don't worry. Don't fret about going out and laying down your life unto death for somebody. Just go ahead and give them a little piece of your life by witnessing to them, by telling them about the Lord, by inviting them to services, by praying for them, by giving them a tract, by living before them in a way that'd be pleasing and honoring and glorifying to the Lord, even in difficult times. May our Lord help us. Verse number 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. We see here in this passage that love for our Lord unto obedience of him and love one for another declare again that we are his. Hear that? Love for our Lord unto obedience of him and love for one for another declare we are his. If we have a life that we're so focused on doing what our Lord, what a wonderful testimony we would have of those that are without, they would say, you know what? You can't get that man or you can't get that woman. You can't get them to do anything that comes before their Lord. They must really love their Lord. You know what? You can't get there fast enough to help those people because you know what? They look to help each other because they must really love one another. What better testimony and witness would there be than us to have that? In Matthew chapter 24, we have a warning again from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all his word, but we just want to focus on what our Lord says about these things. Faith we have by the Lord, faith in him. Faith is always in a something or a person, and faith in scriptural faith, biblical faith, is always in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to add to that faith this charity, this love with legs on it, this love feast, this abounding exhibition of love and care to all that we can do to hold dear our Lord and to hold dear one another and to hold dear the soul that is without Christ. And we have a warning here from our Lord in Matthew chapter 24. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that's agape love. That's love with legs on it. Because iniquity, because wickedness, because sin will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I don't want to be part of that many, do you? I don't want to be categorized and lumped into that many that is there. We see here by the warning of our Lord, when iniquity abound, abounds, love grows cold. You know what? We might be able to take this in our lives. And Brother Doug mentioned about introspection. I might be able to take this. The well could take this and say, is my love cold? Is my love cold, Jim? Lord, is my love cold? Lord, does that mean there's some iniquity at hand? Does that mean that there's some sin at hand? Because I don't care about my brother and sister in Christ. I don't care about following you and obeying you, Lord. I don't care about the sinner that's next door or across the street or that I meet at the supermarket. Lord, is my love cold? Is my love cold because I got sin in my life? Because there's iniquity at hand? Because I'm listening to the world and what the world's saying rather than listening to what you and what you're saying? In John chapter 17, here our Lord prays there in Gethsemane. He prays for our brethren and he prays for us. And he wraps up this prayer here, indeed the Lord's Prayer. And listen to what he says. Listen to the words that he says here at the end of this prayer. O righteous Father, John 17:25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. See, we know that the Son is of the Father. And we believe that the Father sent him for our sakes. And we know that he came that we might be saved. And he has saved us. And he's made us his own through those things that he's done. And he's promised in his great work. And we know that the Father is behind him and all that. And that this is the great work of God. And the Son was sent by the Father. And the Father sent the Son. And the Son came willingly for that joy that was set before him. And he endured the cross for our sakes. And he did all these things. And we believe and we know why. As Peter declared, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. See, he said, you've been sent for us. And Jesus prays here in verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it. Why? That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You know, I hadn't seen that way, that our Lord finishes that prayer that way. That the love, the agape love, that thou hast loved me. He said, I desire that to be in them. And you and I, as the children of God, we have the directive from our Lord to add to our faith this love. And we are called upon, being saved children of God, that love be manifest, be exhibited in our lives. Love for our Lord, love one for another, and love for the sinner that's in need of Christ. In conclusion, we saw in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we're to add faith. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that we're to exhibit and manifest this agape love with legs on it, self-sacrificing love. And we close here with 1 Corinthians 13:13. I trust it's familiar to you. The apostle writes to this church at Corinth, and he desires to show them a more excellent way. You remember that at the end of chapter 12, verse 31? They want the gifts. And they want the gifts of ministry. But he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And he writes about charity. He writes about love, agape love with legs on it. And he says in verse 13, after he says all these things that are done, all these things that can be pursued, even the giving of one's body to be burned without love. And he says here, now abideth faith. We've got that, right? We're to be adding to it. Hope, which we look to the promises of our Lord to fill that hope. Amen? And what's it say? In charity. Love with legs on it. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity. What Jesus said about what we're to add and exhibit.